welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, The Bold and the Beautiful closes in on a five-year high, Kristen's sex tape revelation rocks Salem on Days of Our Lives, Spixy and Lante face off in court on General Hospital, and what in the world is going on at The Young and the Restless? All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Jamie Giddens, welcome.
Hey.
It's been a busy, busy week. You ready to dive into it all?
Oh, Luke, I tell you, I am like, I told you just before the show, I'm like Melly at the end of Gone with the Wind. Usually I'm like Scarlet. I'm plucking the radish out of the garden and going, you're not going to lick me. Right now, I'm like, Mammy, send for the doctor and try to get me home. But I'll be back. That's right. The South shall rise again.
Normally, my first question for you would be whether or not you thought Steve Burton was in the league of Jensen Buchanan, but there's been so much Y&R news this last week that that doesn't even rate as the top story. Yeah. Jillian Bowe, welcome.
Hello.
Melody Akles, welcome.
As God is my witness, I'll never go hungry again.
Okay.
I don't know what's wrong with my podcast co-hosts. They're all down. I'm like, yeah, let's do this.
Down.
Okay, well,
usually,
yes.
The thing of it is, usually I have a day or two to process after some big breaking news. We're doing the podcast actually on the day that the 35th chapter of this shitstorm.
Well, let's see what's interesting about this. We're recording it on a Tuesday evening, and normally we record on Monday or Sunday nights. And when we record on Monday nights, there have often been occasions when a tweet will come across in the evening, which we may have already recorded DC, like when Michael Logan tweeted and we were in the middle of PC. Mm-hmm. And so tonight we're recording and everything's
make
already
sure
happened, so it works out really well.
Make sure you tell people what PC is, because they'll be like, they do PCP.
Pop Confidential.
What the hell is PCP?
Oh, look at me. I'm Sandra.
Go look it up.
Don't Jamie.
It's glue. Yes. It's glue. It's some glue.
Don't tell that boy that. He'll be out asking for it. It's some dope, Luke. Me and Nancy Reagan said, just say no. Just say no.
Please, if you see Luke twerking in the streets, catch it on tape. Find it. Something. Carry a pigeon it. Let Steve Burton fly it in for your shit.
Oh, Lord.
A lot happened at The Young and the Restless List last week. You reported that the Josh Williams and Andrew Abbott characters were smokescreens for a possible recast of Billy Miller's Billy Abbott.
Yes.
And that was the first beat of the whole thing. And by the time it was all said and done, we've got David Tom back.
Yes, we do. And to start that off, kudos to David Tom. I was a big fan of David Tom during those years. I loved the Glow by the Jabot years. I feel bad in a way that he's kind of gotten lost in the translation. I mean, this kind of reminds me of when Peter Reckle came back to play Bo after Robert Coker Kelly had been such a successful recast. I mean, it's, you know, seemingly it's win-win. I mean, we haven't seen David in a couple of years, and you know, we've been around covering this game long enough to know that every time an original comes back, it isn't original crispy chicken ain't always the best after you've, you know, had a little spicier flavor. But I'm going, you know,
Craig Montgomery, anybody?
Preach. I'm going to let, you know, but for me, I'm going to let, for me and my house, I'm going to let.
For you and your house.
We will serve the Lord, but no, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to wait and see how he is, and, you know, not going to shade him because of my love for Killer Miller. But leading up to this, there's been a lot of drama because, you know, Billy has had some really good outs in the past. When Maria Irina Bell was executive producer of the show, he got out to do Ringer, and he got out to do some movies and things like that.
Justified.
And in my humble opinion, he's worth all of those outs, because when you have what I consider to be a superstar, you work with a superstar. Now, I started a shitstorm on Twitter by basically tweeting.
No. Never. Well, it could never. You know,
I took my hiatus and then I come back and I mean I'm in the fire like Chaka Khan. I'm through the fire.
I was gonna sing it.
One weekend, you know. But I tweeted, you know, that if you're gonna fly stars in, then you should work to make deals with superstars of your show or something. I'm paraphrasing what I said. But, you know, CBS Daytime Vice President Angelica McDaniel tweeted that they don't fly anyone in. Mm-hmm. I immediately started racking my brain. I apologized to TV Guide's Michael Logan because I referenced his interview with Burton, which where they did, you know, I remembered Michael asking him, so I hear you have a sweet deal at, you know, and they talked about the flying back and forth. But that I went back and that interview doesn't mention money. But I knew that there was an interview out there where Steve had mentioned money. Or, you know, that Steve had mentioned them fly, not money, let me be clear, that Steve had mentioned Sony or Y&R and or flying him in. So while I'm racking my brain, Jillian Bowe gets tipped off from a source.
No. That's Detective Bowe to you.
Detective Bowe.
He's intrepid, Jillian Bowe.
Detective Bowe gets tipped off and is like, hey. You know, because I'm immediately apologizing. Because I'm like, okay, if I'm the type, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. I don't care. Yeah, it'll give all the haters a chance to go, nah, 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 boo-boo, Jamie. But I had already tweeted back saying, oh, well, I apologize if I got that wrong. I thought, and Jillian is like, hold up on your mea culpa. Don't, look, Jillian, I need Jillian if I'm running for president. Because she's like, don't give up yet. We ain't counted Florida.
I will tackle you.
I was all ready to give my damn. What's that?
In this case, we haven't counted Tennessee or wherever right. the hell he's at.
What was that speech? What's that speech the loser gives? I was getting ready to give my. Come on! I was ready to go ahead and give my. Come on, Miss Romney, let's go home speech. But Jillian was like, wait. It felt like an episode of Scandal. You need to listen to this interview with Sean Kanan. And I'm like, who knew Sean Kanan is now the Walter Cronkite of soap journalism? So I'm listening to that interview and it gets, you know, I'm listening and it's, you know, it's really a funny show. I have to say, I like Kanan's rules. That's my buddy anyway. I like Sean Kanan. So I'm listening, but I'm like, okay, when are we going to get to the juice? When are we going to get to the juice? And then it was like, orgasm. I mean, we get to that section. And it's like verbatim. He says, "Jillian, what'd he say?"
I wasn't ready for the segue. Damn.
Oh no, that's okay. Well, I'll say it. You know, he said we have it on Daytime Confidential because Jillian got right to work transcribing it, and I thank her for putting up with my hemming and hawing because I was at first like, no, we're not going to run it.
Let me tell y'all what it was. Hello,
getting a little bit of tea on how things work so, behind the scenes in DC.
Afterwards, Jamie was like, Jamie went buck on Twitter, was like, look at him, and you know, so Jamie was like, you know, I got my point across. So there's no worries. And I was like, what the hell you say, sir? I'm like, after I transcribed all that, no, ma'am. I'm like,
I was like, let's just let it go. We're not gonna post the transcription. And Jillian was like, I've done it, I already done it. And I was like, oh, shit.
Listen, after having been on the receiving end of some of your complaints about transcribing over the years, if you didn't let her, I would have been like, Jamie, let her.
Oh, I know if you'd have had a vote in that conversation, you'd have been thinking, Patriots, what is he talking about? Shut up, Jamie! But
I'd have been like, Luke, you disable this account while I put this up.
If I caught my mama twerking and Luke thought it would get us some page views, he'd be like, you need to block that. But,
yeah, so
there is nothing wrong with capitalism.
But anyway, free enterprise.
At the 36.57 minute mark, he says, and I quote, if you have the power to say, hey, I'm leaving, then that's the best negotiation power you can have. And Y&R said, quote, sure, we'll fly you in. But I was hurt.
Let the record show, Claire Huxtable says, let the record show. Steve Burton said that they said, sure, we'll fly you in. Okay. Not you can fly your happy ass in yourself best way you get here. They said, we'll fly you in. Prior to that, he said, I had a fly-in deal under Jill that I never exercised. Okay.
Yeah,
I guarantee you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he did not leave General Hospital because Frank said, you can't move where you want to move and fly in for work. Where does Lucy Coe live, the woman play Lucy Coe? Don't she live way up in the mountains of California somewhere on a farm?
Yeah. Well, hell, what's his name? Melissa Reeves' husband. They live out there, too, don't they?
Well, I think
and he was working on GH for years.
I seriously don't believe. I mean, think about it. Think about it.
Melissa and her husband used to work. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These soaps can't tell you you have to live in the same city as long as you show up for your call time. So, anyway, I mean, I'm not going to go, you know, CBS Daytime maintains that he does not get paid. Steve has since said on Twitter he does not get paid. But on Sean Kanan's radio show, or that he does not get flown in, on Sean Kanan's radio show, he said he did.
He didn't say it once. He didn't say it twice. He mentioned at least three times or more.
Yes. He kept saying a fly-in deal. And I'm not going to lie.
He said, so you pulled, Kanan asked him, about GH, you pulled the trigger and made a decision. Yeah, I'm out of here. I'm moving anyway. I wanted to stay and go to Nashville. And about 2.5 to 3 months later, the Young and the Restless called because Jill's over there. And she said, you want to fly in? And I said, yeah, I'd love to. Tell the truth. You were getting bored. This is Kanan talking. Were you getting restless? Burton laughs. You know I can't. Kanan, young and restless. Burton laughs. I was getting restless. If I'm home for 2 weeks on the porch, I'm starting another business. So, Kanan, what's that like? We were in talks with Sony at the time for a novella with James Franco. I was working with him on some other stuff, and it was really Sony. Kanan interrupts him, because James Franco needs another job, right? Burton, I know. He has like 27,000 jobs. So it was really Sony, the executives over there, who said, what would it take for Steve to come back, or does he want to fly in? What's the deal? And my manager said, managers make what kind of deals? They don't make travel arrangements. They make financial deals. Yeah, he'd love to come in kind of part-time if that works. I wasn't here to hold anyone over the barrel because I was ready to leave, and Kanan, walk away. Burton, walk away anyways. Kanan, which is the best position to be in? Burton, you put the shackles away like Sean Kanan told me. They both laugh. And then at the end, if you have the power to say, hey, I'm leaving, then that's the best negotiating power you can have. And Y&R said, sure, we'll fly you in. I was hurt. I was sad for a long time. The end. I mean, I was not saying, and this is the thing, I never said Steve Burton was wrong for wanting that, because game recognizes game. Steve Burton don't pay Billy Miller's bills. He don't pay nobody else's bills on that set but his. I'd ask for whatever I could get anyway. I wouldn't give a damn if they said, well, we're not going to give Luke that. I'd be like, well, sucks for Luke. You know, I wouldn't care about that. I was never faulting Steve Burton. I was stating at this point, this is where opinion comes in. My opinion, which is that if you will go through all of them changes for somebody who was a star on somebody else's show, I feel you should go to the greatest distance for someone who is a star, a proven star on your show. Because
exactly, because
Steve
that's
on
like
the show for a year, and he is not a star on this show. But now here's the thing, because I have to give credit where credit's due. I've heard from several sources that Billy Miller was offered a pay raise, which is very rare in this current climate. He was offered a pay raise, but Billy Miller is an artist, which means he wants the flexibility to do other projects more than he just wanted a pay raise, which I admire that. So they couldn't reach an agreement. He wanted more out so that he could try to do more primetime and film. They're like, no, well, we need you, you know, and we can't. But, you know, they did offer him more money, so I can't. My initial Twitter frustration before I knew all of that, you know, that's kind of tempered because they did offer him more money, so.
But here's the thing that I would just like to point out, because apparently Sony, CBS Daytime, Jill, whoever it is that is paying for this, is willing to have basically tantric negotiations with Steve Burton. Meanwhile, Billy Miller can't get outs. Melody Thomas Scott went through hell. And Eileen Davidson doesn't get paid what she deserves and only pops up on occasion. And Y&R let her go, and
she
ended up back at Dave's.
Well, she doesn't want to go back to Y&R.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, previously, Y&R let her go, so she ended up at Dave's. Mel, what are your thoughts on all this?
I think it is a hot mess from the M to the S. I mean, we clearly heard the interview. Steve Burton says, We'll fly you in, referring to Young and the Restless. We'll fly you in. I can't take it to mean any other thing than what it means.
I mean, if I call you up Mel tomorrow and say, I'm going to fly you to Atlanta. Now, when you get to the airport and you don't see no tickets, and then you call me up and I say, oh, don't you know I'll fly you in means you'll fly yourself. Ain't you going to cuss me out on the phone? I mean,
Smooth out, Jamie.
Fly you in unless I'm speaking Hebrew, unless I'm speaking some foreign tongue and I understand. We'll fly you in is understood in the English language that the we in this scenario will do the flying in.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. That's what I have said.
Oh, I mean, they'll send Kid Icarus for you to hop on his back. They'll do something. They'll send that horse that He-Man's twin sister used to ride as She-Ra Princess of Power. But they're saying, we're going to make sure you get here, is what that says. You know,
when this whole thing busted, I had mad people. Several of my sources was like, you know, if certain people just had to answer Jamie back, this would have fell under the radar. But when it happened, it happened. And they were like, you know, everybody knows that he is flown in. Nobody is hating on that. Because let me tell you something right now. If Luke told me, you know, I'm going to fly you back and forth to the Bahamas so you can do this blogging thing, and Mel is going through her contract negotiations, let me tell you something. Mel is my girl. I love her to death. But I'd roll my eyes and be like, man, I don't care what happened with that bitch.
Because my money is good. So
your money is good. I'm going to wear my journalist hat again here. I know what I believe. But again, CBS Daytime maintains he is not being flown in. Not by CBS Daytime, not by Sony. I asked this question. I said, could it be that his travel was factored in to his salary? And I was told that could have happened. So there you have it.
There you go. Well, now, Jillian,
I mean,
what are your...
I mean, that's the... If this was,
it is semantics.
If this was soap opera Sesame Street, that would be the word of the day. This boy did not leave the show where he was a star because they said, no, you can't fly yourself back and forth to Tennessee. See, people! Don't play me for crazy. Play Lotto, like Jillian always says. Don't play me, play Lotto.
If they're giving him a higher guarantee to cover his travel costs than what would be comparable to what he deserves or other people...
It's all semantics. If y'all remember, when Susan Lucci had to take that pay cut at All My Children, which I broke, and everybody and their mama said it was a lie. They ran to every magazine, and the magazines ran Jory Peterson's denials that they were having to take their pay cuts. And then Agnes Nixon, yeah, I'm going to keep bringing it up, came in that Ad Age article that said, yeah, we all had to take a pay cut. Look, they're trying to take all my children book away from me. You know, so anyway and anyhow, I was told, if you remember, Susan got Dancing with the Stars shortly thereafter.
Yep.
That's how they, you know, they were basically like, according to my sources, well, look at here, Susan, we need you to take this because we finna have to tell everybody. When we walk in, you know, I'm paraphrasing and being silly now, but I'm basically saying, when we walk into GH and have to tell Tony Geary, look, everybody at ABC taking the pay cut, even Lucci, you know, so they can be like, they needed Susan to be like, take one for the team, which Susan, from what I've heard, did that for the whole 40 years, then got mad as hell at the end and read Brian Frantz for filth in her, in the, you know, the addendum to her autobiography. She had a lot to say. She had a lot to say, like Bernadine and Waiting to Exhale. But anyway, they gave her Dancing with the Stars to offset the pay cut. These people work around. It's a game. And Jamie ain't stupid. For all these people tweeting me, I didn't get to where I am doing this. Been quoted and interviewed by Variety, Out, everybody damn where else, NP fucking R. I ain't get here because I'm silly and I'm funny on Twitter. I get here because I know what the fuck I'm talking about. And, you know, and that's the thing. I'm like, I love CBS Daytime like a play cousin. That could have gone away. But don't challenge me because now I'll be like a dog with a bone where I was over it. You know, and I'm over it. It's done. But I'm just saying, don't come for me on stuff like that because I do my homework.
Jillian, I have a question for you. What are your thoughts on David Tom returning? Because I watched Glow by Jabot Kids. He wasn't my favorite at all.
Are you asking me my opinion? Or
well, no, what I'm saying is I'm just curious what your guys' opinions are. I know Jamie mentioned that he's glad to have him back. I'm not looking forward to it so much. What are your thoughts?
Think about it.
I'm like,
tell it, Jillian.
Damn, wrap it up. You like a black pastor, boy. Just,
I don't know it at the end of church when you be trying to get home and get some of your mama's bedclothes. And he just keep on praying and stuff.
That's why I'm an Episcopalian. When we ready.
When I first went to an Episcopalian church, I didn't know how to act. I'm like, ain't nobody shouting and showing out.
We do that at home, honey. When we ready to roll, we roll. When I heard the news about David Tom and it settled in, I said it on Twitter. I didn't delete it. You can go back and look. I said, I'm not going to lie. That's a badass move by Jill Farron Phelps. She got the boy who made that role, who was a breakout in that role. I was not mad at that. I thought that was a hood move. That was a boss move. You can't even front. That was a good move. I'm not mad at it. He was good. I loved him in the role. I did think him and Mac was a little boring.
I agree with you there.
Shut up. I thought they were boring.
Bite your tongue and tug your bite. They were the sweetest little couple ever.
I found it after a while, but I thought, ooh, why this boy running after this homely girl? I'm like,
she was sweet and virtuous and good.
You need a little raunch in your life. I'm like, ooh. But he made the role pop. He made it very popular. He's not a bad actor. You know who his big sister is, who was wrecking shop across the hall. That's Heather Tom. So I'm just hoping.
This basically guarantees she'll never be Victoria again.
Yes, I do. Okay.
That little girl, the blonde one that was on The Nanny, all those kids can act. You know,
Maria made sure when she introduced Billy that Heather would never come in the role again. I was like, when they did this, I'm like, she ain't never, ever, ever coming back.
Well, on the bright side, at least both Billy and Victoria will be Chia pets now. Mel, what did you think?
Oh, Lord.
What?
That didn't make sense.
Anyways, Luke, anyways. I loved David Tom in the role. I begged for years and years and years on this podcast for him to come back before Billy Miller, you know, but I am so sad to see Billy Miller go.
Them boys they had between Billy and
David was awful.
Right. That was that one boy that when they thought they was cousins, but that was a
bad.
Big old pile of pretty duty right. I was like, what the hell? Where they find him at?
I don't know, but I'm sad to see Billy Miller go. I hate to see him go. But like Jillian said, it's a boss move to get the original guy back in the role that, you know, was very...
Yeah, because he could get hair, you know, somebody that's going to chew their hair, like...
Right? And he was wildly popular in the role David Tom was, and he won the Emmy for playing the role. So, you know, it's a good move.
Luke pointed out to me when I brought that up, too. I was like, Luke, he's an Emmy winner when me and Luke were talking offline. He said, so did that Drew Tyler Bell boy. He won an Emmy.
And the chick from All My Children.
This was all before that. It was all before that when David Tom won his Emmy. So
back when he was getting it, the Emmy still meant something.
Listen, they gave, what is his name, Raul or whatever the...
Oh, he was amazing. You better not talk about David. Look, David Longo will come for you. You know, he showed out at one of them Emmys. He got up there and was...
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Marlon Brando, when Marlon Brando sent that Indian woman up there to...
I'm like,
there was a ton of the Young and the Restless casting news this last week, but before we get on to the big portion of it, let's cover a few of the lesser casting headlines. Amelia Hindley has renewed her contract. Hopefully there's a hair combing clause.
Gina Tognoni. Girl, what you doing?
No,
they didn't call you? What's wrong?
We better get Gina a job, too, because, you know, we love Soaps Done reported that Ellen Wheeler is gathering the old gang. We better get anybody worth their salt away from Ellen before she looks in their eyes.
You know, when I heard Amelia, you know, someone asked me what I thought about it, and Arena Alston Boy pretty much summed it up before I could say it. They're like, what do you think about Amelia coming back? And I was just like... Damn! I'm
I've found that when it comes to the Young and the Restless, the most simple, succinct way to respond to the Young and the Restless news is just using the classic Catherine line, "Dear God in heaven," because that's pretty much what it is.
You know, though, that's the least. That girl is the least of that show's problems right now.
Oh no, she just needs to comb her hair.
She has actually been doing a decent supporting job in the Delia story. That show has miles to go before they can get down the road to addressing the problems with Victoria. Now, that used to be one of my biggest problems too, but my biggest problem now is to prevent myself from rushing to grab a bottle of Seroquel whenever it's on, because I'm looking
Reader pointed out on DC or Twitter that
Seroquel is an antipsychotic, but when you take it, don't ask me how I know, just know. When you take it, it just make you real sleepy. Like, you'd be like, yeah, I'm not crazy no more because I'm just tired. That's what you know, with Wyatt R, I'd be wanting to have to take one of them because I'm just like, are any of these stories...
Listen, a DC reader, either on Twitter or on the site, pointed out that Nikki is now the mother of three of the most bland characters on the show.
I'm not even going to lie. When the president cut in last week, I'm not even going to front.
The whole episode.
You know you usually be like, gosh, when it's nothing important, you're like, ah, shut up. When he cut in, I felt like a kid in New York City when they're told it is a snow day. Because I was like, one less episode. And someone was like, well, you can watch it online. I'm like, shut up. I don't have no internet. They're like, what are you tweeting on? I'm like, don't worry about it. And I'm like,
Well, I found out that they did, you know, and this is the thing. When Gloria Monty took over GH, and, you know, even with other regimes, we've heard about this before where she came in and looked at those episodes that were already shot. And she said, ugh, and just scrapped them and started from fresh with her vision. Well, they can't afford to do that anymore. I've been told that the new writers did not scrap any of Josh's stories. They just, Shelley and Tracy Thompson just came in and tried to work with what was left behind. And now Gene's coming to the table. Gene will be writing, well, now that Gene is there, long story can happen. I was told from my source, Y&R has not had a long story in a year.
I believe
that
it.
Josh
was you can tell.
Making it up as he went along. I heard that from a very reliable source. And I'm like, how do you get hired without a long story? What do they do? How do you
Killer clowns.
I'm like, how do you get hired without a long story? I mean, aren't there any checks and balances? I mean, really? Look, I like Hollywood Heights, but I tell you what, I wish I could go back in time and take back any praise I ever gave that show. Because had I known praising that little bullshit ass Nickelodeon Swan's Crossing reboot would help these people one day take over the number one show in daytime, I'd have been shitting on that like somebody with diarrhea. You know, it's like, what? He came in, hey, I just did Hollywood Heights. I don't have to pitch a long story. Hollywood Heights got 950,000 viewers. Give me the number one soap, baby. It's like, give me a break.
Well,
they will not be giving the person who is doing Betrayal in CIS. They won't do it.
Well, Steve Burton, Billy Miller, David Tom, they weren't the only big news about Y&R this last week.
Tristan Rogers is coming back.
Rogers is rejected.
That's right. Guess who's back? Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
You need to take a moment to do the moonwalk.
Don't call it a comeback for real, because that ain't no...
I was in a namaste place. I was trying to let daytime evolve as it was. Without my interference, I was reading of the Buddha and the Tudor and the Fruity Shooty Shooter. But
Buddha? Yeah. Buddha Palace for that Kung Pao chicken?
You were trying to be the thinking man soap
man. I was trying to just... But anyway, yes, Tristan is back. Tristan was on Recurring.
And Ron Carlovati didn't know.
Ron didn't know. And now he is back.
No. Clear up. Ron didn't know he was leaving.
Yeah, Ron didn't know that he was leaving. He tweeted that. Tristan, I'm not mad at Tristan about this. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you know, you get to a certain age in this game, it's pretty easy to stroke your ego. I mean, I'm not trying to be a mean person by saying that, but I'm like, nothing that he was offered at that show last time should have been a signifier of, ooh, we're really going to do you well, especially considering that Jill Farrin Phelps is the showrunner, and we know how she did him at GH. I do think it's mighty telling and very nice of him to point out that Frank and Ron wrote Frisco, Lord, see, wrote. I'm confusing my great 80s superheroes played by angry tweeters. I was just waiting. I was like, Lord, Tristan is going to do a blog post and say, well, hell, if they'd have really got me out this room, I'd have stayed, or something to that effect. But when he was like, you know, I thank them for writing him true to his character, I'm like, that is the highest praise. Forget an Emmy, because Tristan, I think, has shit on every regime.
He don't care.
I mean, he has shit on every one of them going all the way back to Monty. So for him to be like, look, I'm leaving, but I'm still happy with what y'all did, I'm like, well, hey, all's well that's in well. Ron said he's going to have to write him out for February sweeps. Y'all would be surprised how many times that happens. I mean, over and over again, they've had to write Tristan in or Tony out because one of the other ones scheduled. So, you know, I mean.
Which is why Billy Miller, if he were to join General Hospital, and General Hospital is smart, they'd give him a contract and then give him the outs that he wants. So that we could have him say, who knows, maybe Lucky, someone else.
I want him as Lucky. He'd be
Cowboy.
Lucky.
Yes.
He'd be Absolutely. Good as Lucky or Dylan. It would almost save, you know, the same purpose. But, you know, yeah.
Him up against Jane Elliott, shit.
Yeah.
Well, he could come back as Dylan and have a problem with his mother dating Luke for all.
You know, Dylan always liked Luke. Luke called him Spielberg. They were aces. Why would he have a problem with that?
Because they bring him back, he's matured and maybe has issues with putting his mother's life in danger.
No, that's stupid.
On Cassadine Island.
That's stupid. No.
You can be in danger at the Quartermain house if you get in the car with AJ to go for some milk. So.
Or black member of the family. Jillian, what did you think of Robin, Patrick, Sabrina, and the impending wedding this last week?
I didn't. Next.
Okay. Mel, Spixie versus Lante. Oh. They faced off in court. Lulu accused Maxie.
What do you think about it, Mel? For the love of God, what do you think about it?
I think Lulu is a dirty lying bitch. That's what I think. She gets on my doggone nerves. She sit up there on that stand and lied, talking about she never came up with a plan with Dante to get the baby out of town. Yes, you did, Lulu. You dirty lying helper. I hope you die. I hope you burn in hell. I cannot stand Lulu. Oh, my God, I can't stand. And I love Em. Y'all know I love Em Rollins. She's amazing. She's doing a great job in the role because she is making me hate Lulu more than I ever thought I could.
Marcy Consuela.
Look, the artist woman known as Marcy Rowland, girl. Yeah. You're doing a good job, okay?
Lulu is a stank little hoe, and I love
her.
But I'm like, she does not play Lulu with, like, any type of, she is, like, straight up
of morals.
Hearted snake. She is like, I don't give a damn if that baby really belongs to you and came out of your vagina. It's mine, and I will lie, and Dante, your ass better get up there and lie to, or I'm going to hide all your Grecian formula from you. Lulu was ready for war. I'm
like a Spencer should be, and I thought it was good.
She was good this week, absolutely.
She was a true Spencer.
And Jillian, you're a long-timer, so you know.
Yeah.
Wasn't Bobby and Tiffany Hill best friends and stuff too when they were fighting
sure enough, and they fought like dirty dogs. I got flashbacks of that. They fought like dogs, like pit bulls.
That was before my time. That was back when I was watching what?
Luke, pick up the pace. No, that was good. You know, when Maxie, I was like, okay, Maxie, are you going to continue playing this martyr? And then when Maxie was like, we gonna get Lulu, I was like, ooh, you, bitch, you.
I will say this, though. By the time it was all said and done, I was like, forget Spinelli. He going up there and defending Lulu made me so mad, I was like, Maxie should be the only one who gets custody.
She should have called Louboutin on his forehead. I was so mad.
I was like, I'm too through with Spinelli.
Yes.
Oh, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Thing was out. Spinelli had a right to defend that girl. Maxie deceived both of them, but Maxie is taking it way too far. And I don't know why Lulu mad. She knows she...
Wait. Maxie's the one who's taking it too far?
Who's taking it way too far. I'm confused. I'm confused. Two petite blondes. They're everywhere. But Maxie, I don't know why Maxie mad, because anybody can see. Look, Adam Newman, blind ass on the Young and the Restless, can see. Maxie pregnant now! She pregnant! You got a baby in your belly! I would be... They need to have somebody be like, Sonny need to dress up like King Solomon. And put that baby up there on the table. And look, take out one of Jocelyn's little swords that she be practicing with at night, because she gonna stab Carly in her heart when she ain't looking. And be like, I'm gonna have to cut this baby in half. And whichever one of them jump up and do the electric boogaloo, get to keep the baby.
See, and I'm almost dreading watching Tuesday's General Hospital because I didn't have a chance to watch it before the podcast. Oh, but if for some reason Spixie did not get custody of that baby, I will be chucking stuff on Twitter.
Well, not custody.
We're scared of you. We're scared of you, boy. Woo.
Pardon me, Jamie?
It says Spiff got custody of him. The spear in Spixie got custody. But the exit ain't got shit. That judge said, get your trash, shit trifling. You is...
Now, talk about spoilers. Shame on you.
Oh, screw you. You do that all the time.
You better watch it.
Let's talk about The Bold and the Beautiful, Jamie. It almost hit a 5-year high.
It did. B&B, I said it on Twitter, and all of the B&B Twitter people was favoriting it, because I said, and one of the writers was favoriting it, because I said, see, B&B is that soap where you talk about it 1 week, and you have to go back and be like, I was wrong. I wish Wyatt R would be like that. I do. I want to love Wyatt R again. I said this to somebody in the know about this soap. Remember how we used to shit on Days? We used to hate Days on this podcast. Mm-hmm. We come on here every week. I hate Days of Our Lives. I just wish somebody would blow up Salem Place. I hate it. I hate them all. I want to just bulldozer to knock the show off. Bring back the doctors. I mean, you know, we were mad as hell about that show. Now we love it. So that proves if you get your show together, we'll love it again.
And but we started shitting on B&B too, and now it is like...
It used to make us so mad. It used to make us so mad when Donna was front burner and with that honey and bullshit, we was mad.
It still makes us mad because...
No, it doesn't. It makes us...
No, Luke.
B&B.
You speak for yourself. Don't say it makes us mad.
Apparently, yes, B&B's B and C stories are fast forwardable. I'm not going to sit up here and tell no lie about it. But their A story is A for awesome. Because when Dollar Bill, I was mad. Remember last week? We were like, Dollar Bill?
We told you. We were like, this is a ruse, fool. This
I
is
was
a ruse.
So through with it. Dollar Bill was like, Brooke, baby girl, I didn't really want your sister. I still want your good. I just wanted my money back. And Brooke was like, how could you, Bill?
Oh my God. Bill was so convincing when he slept with Katie. I was so mad. Let me tell you, I was so mad at Brad Bell. I know his whole body was jumping like, ooh, who talking shit about me? Because I was like, God damn it, Brad. I'm like, ah!
So it's one of the most fascinating male characters in soaps because he is Rhett Butler. He is a rogue. He is, you better have body clothes packed when I come back. I always thought a whipping with a bucket whip would benefit you immensely. That is who he is. Not that I'm condoning any violence, but I'm just saying he is a man's man. He ain't like his son.
Which son?
Some wimpy and wishy.
Both of them.
He is a
man. It's not a wimp, so fall back.
Like, I will sire both of these sisters to get what's mine. I mean, he is awesome.
Oh, somebody, my God.
On Twitter, is this true? A newer fan was like, is he true to character to his father? And you know, that's kind of a retcon because Bill, you know, Bill only had, Bill Sr. just had a daughter at the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was like, no, his daddy was a metrosexual. I don't know why they always be trying to act like they were alike. Because whenever they say that, he's like, my old man was hard on me. I'm like, I used to think Bill Spencer was playing for the other team. He'd be like, hello, Margot girl. Come on in here and let me tell you something sweet.
No,
you
know? I didn't take that. I just thought he was trying to be a suave and debonair, but
that was the 80s, so
it's
the thing then to be Mr. Sophisticated.
Yeah. But when that dude told those two heifers, when Bill, you know, after he didn't even wash his balls good, when he rolled up in the house, told the two of them, I did this for you. I got my company back and I got my son back. I was like, oh my God. I thought that was epic. And I thought for a minute that Brooke was going to be all, well, Katie, you did take his company and his son. I was ready to cuss my girl out when Brooke pulled that fast one and showed him, bitch, there's a reason why I rumbled with the best of them. It's the reason why I got this big house on the hill, sucker. It's a reason why that I am still running things at Forrester and Taylor don't know where she is. We don't know where Taylor is. Hey, boo. I'm like, when Brooke pulled that fast one on him with them contracts, I was screaming. I was like, oh, Brad, you
said Brooke Logan learned that from who? Connor taught Brooke Logan back in the day when they snatched belief from them Foresters.
Okay. And I was like, Bill.
Although she wasn't paying too much attention because then she let Stephanie sneak it back.
Was she paying attention enough to get one over on Dollar Bill, y'all?
Yeah.
When he sat in that office bragging, I was like, Bill. You know, when he was all like, I can't believe she did this. I'm thinking to myself, Bill. You don't tell them what you fitting to do unless you file them papers until Justin tells you. All systems are go, buddy.
Justin told Bill that me and Mary Jane got picked up, so he gonna have to find another black brother to have his back.
Oh man, that show was so brilliant when that girl, when he went there all happy go lucky, he opened that folder up and was like, what the hell? I was like, oh, Brooke, the okie doke. I loved it. It was great TV. It was fantastic. It was
B&C stories. I'm not gonna lie, I agree with Luke on some of that. When it comes to them chillins, as my grandmama used to say, them chillins come on the TV, I start to fast forward it. Unless Hope is ho checking Bill. I love it when Hope is talking about Bill Greasy, because then I'm like, ooh, talk Hope. But if it gets to them stolen diamonds and stuff, I'll be like, ooh.
Where is
Miss Piggy so that Miss Piggy and Kermit can come help solve the great Muppet caper?
And then Carter and Maya.
Maya
whatever the hell her name is.
Caroline. All right. God.
Well, let's talk about Days of Our Lives.
They made Maisie Malisha.
You caught that? She was talking to Hope this week, and she was like, and Mona. And Hope was like, Maya? Caroline! Was dying.
Caroline! I love Caroline. Brad Bell saved that. Well, Brad Bell and the actress. Where they decided, let's make you comic. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, because I was all for Chrishell Stouse to get that role.
I have to say, one of the things I want a flashback. You know how when, we're seeing a lot of them recreating the Maxi when Robin.
Which I'm very happy for.
Maxi and Robin flashbacks.
You know what? Brad Bell, if you're listening, I have a request. Because I want Caroline, when Torsten K plays Ridge, I want a flashback to that scene where Ridge, you know, sees the tattoo that Caroline got for her Aunt Caroline. And I want to see Torsten burst into those tears and go, Carol! And start sniffing on her. Caroline!
Oh, they should do a flashback where Caroline grabs her Mace's ass.
Early, he was sniffing that girl hair. I was like, did he realize he's sniffing it? Like,
ew, stranger danger. I was like, ew, stranger danger.
Oh, you remind me of Caroline.
You
Jamie, let's talk about Days of Our Lives. What did you think of the fallout after the sex tape revelation now that we've had a few days under the belt? We've had all kinds of things going on, from E-Jammy, Brady versus Eric, Eric and Marlena's relationship.
We spoke about this
Victor
last
and Maggie,
time.
What'd you think?
I was living for Kristen pulling that gun on Marlena. Deirdre Hall, I have to say, Deirdre Hall never, ever retires her skill set. You know, some people might argue that, oh, she's not the greatest dramatic actress. You know, you always see people shade the Days Divas, but say what you will about my girls. They know their characters. They know how their faces are supposed to react. They know, you know, Marlena is forever in a perpetual state of orgasm. And I just love it. Kristen pulls that gun. She's like, you know, the orgasms change. Sometimes it's a quick one. Sometimes it's a great one, you know, but it's always this, you know, and her eyes are just dancing around like, how am I going to get myself out of this one? Like, and, you know, Kristen is all raging at the world and the wind about Brady, and you really feel. I mean, Kristen is a mad woman. She's a mad woman. She really believes that she is justified in coming to this town and trying to steal Marlena's husband and then trying to sleep with her son and then trying to mess with and then raping her other son. You know, I mean, because in my opinion, them boys are both her children. Hell, she's been Brady's mama since she was a baby. Isabella gone home to Greek glory in Greek heaven. But, you know, I'm like, Kristen feels justified because Marlena took her man 20 years, you know, well, not 20 years ago for real, but, you know, in sore ass time. And she is like, everything I've done is okay. And I'm like, Eileen sells that to the point, you know, there's all this praise in primetime for, like, the guy that played the lead in Breaking Bad. What's his
name? Bryan Cranston.
You know, because he makes you have sympathy for the devil, essentially. Well, get at kudos. Daytime stars told me to tell them they've been doing that for years. Because I'm watching that and I'm going, oh, poor Kristen. I mean, she really just wanted. I mean, yeah, initially she wanted to use Brady, but then she did fall in love with him. And Marlena, you didn't have to go get that nasty sex tape and show that at her wedding like that, Marlena. And, you know, so I'm like, wait a minute, Jamie, you're feeling sorry for the rapist. Would you feel sorry for a male rapist? But, you know, Eileen is just that good. I'm loving what this has done to E-Jammy. You know, I did think it was kind of funny when Sammy kicked EJ out of his old bedroom at his old damn house. I'm like, girl, how you gonna kick that boy out of his own?
That's when you are a G. That is when the master G. That's when G comes in her name. It's not Gene, it's G for gangster.
I'm like, how you gonna kick that boy out of his own damn house?
I loved when EJ was trying to cross-examine her and when he brought up Austin.
Yes!
I said, no, you didn't. No,
history! We love history! Love it!
I was like, no, you didn't bring up Austin. And she said it when I said it. She was like, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you did that.
Yes,
I was
like, Sammy, you're going to rape some penis, too. You a penis raper, Sammy.
She was like, I was a child when I did that. You know?
You was a crafty child, though. And then you sold, well, before that, you sold your baby sister on the black market.
I'm like, Sammy. EJ all but made himself look guilty when he started cross-examining her. I'm like, come on, Simon. Bring your spidey sense in and flip it on him and be like, hold up. Why you grilling me like that? You know something. I was waiting for Sammy to do that.
I don't know why Maggie is mad, though, because Maggie knew who she was marrying when she married him. And Victor did most of his dirt long before he met Maggie. He used to have the mess beat out of Patch. He used to try to kill Jack and Jennifer when they were reporters and trying to uncover his, oh, God. They would be trying to uncover his dirty dealings. And, you know, Victor had almost tried to kill them with an electric fence once. And Maggie know all of that, and she was able to crawl up on it. But now he did a little impromptu show and tell at the church house, and you mad, Maggie? You mad, ain't Maggie? You want a divorce?
I'm like, Maggie, come on. Now this woman drugged a priest and raped him. Shut up.
She better be quiet because you know Caroline Bray will be done found her memories. Come on, Victor.
Okay, oh, I was so mad.
I forgot this part. I don't even know if we haven't talked about this because it hadn't been on the blog. But Jillian, everybody always wants me to do my impressions. I got to have Jillian do one of hers because it has come to my attention – that Peggy McKay accidentally let it slip that Will and Sonny will be getting married on Days of Our Lives. Jillian, you are now Peggy McKay, Jillian, and I'm a reporter. Peggy McKay, this is Jay McGinnis from Daytime Confidential.
Hello!
Did you reveal at a fan event that Will and Sonny are getting married on Days of Our Lives?
What?
I was like, oh, girl.
I thought about you because I just started hollering because I said, you know, when she got back to the office and Greg being there was like, probably like, Peggy, what were you doing? Because I think that's a spoiler like 7 months out. You know, days take 12 months in advance. I saw that, like, all the gay blogs that picked it up. It's actually kind of good, though, because they built up a bunch of buzz. But you know, Greg was probably like, Peggy. I bet Peggy was like, I didn't do that. That was Susan C. You know she got a big mouth.
Oh, my God. You know what I also loved about Days 2? You know, your boy, Jamie, speaking of imitations, your boy, you know Roman is always like a dog with a bone. God damn it, Jamie, you tell the truth. Nicole is talking on herself. Roman, Joe Law himself. It's like, shut up, girl, shut up. Everybody shut up, shut up, shut up. He is telling her to shut up. When she's all, I don't care what I did to Kristen. I'm like, ain't this opposite day? Roman telling you to shut your face?
I had an epiphany about him last week, and I think that this has to be shared because I really do feel this way. Y'all know Roman and Marlena were one of my signature couples from the 80s. I love John and Marlena, but I grew up on Roman and Marlena. I remember Wayne Northrup had a better Jerry Curl than anybody in my family, and they used to play Up Where We Belong, and him and Doc would make love, and, you know, she would have her caviar, and he would have, like, his sardine sandwiches or something like that. You know, they would just, it was like the Lady and the Tramp. It was a great love story, so I have forever wanted him to come back. I have to say, though, I am now okay with Josh Taylor as Roman, because I started having a flashback to all my favorite Josh Taylor as Roman moments, and he has given me so much comedy that I'm like, I'm okay with him now. Because from one of my favorites was when him and Kyle Lauda used to be into it. Brady used to hate Roman, and they were that time when they were arguing at Salem Place, and Jennifer, and I think it was Cut and Julie, was sitting up there having coffee. And, you know, Brady was hobbling on some crutches, and he's chasing Roman, and Roman points to him, y'all better talk to him! You better talk to him! And Kyle Lauda is like, come back here, Roman! You know, can nobody do diva like Kyle Lauda? He told Jennifer Hudson, shut up, Effie. Here I come. You know, come on back here, Roman! Come on back here! So, you know, so I love
it. There's the title of the podcast. Shut up, Effie.
So, Kyle Lauda could get, and I'm telling you, hey, Ridge. Yeah, you know, he could diva it up now. Look, Chloe was supposed to be the diva. I'm like, wait a minute, Brady the diva. But anyway, that one, and then, of course, my beloved, everybody get down! Sandy, Chloe, oh, Calliope, Eugene, everybody get down! You know, I did miss him at that wedding because Roman needed to be there! He needed to be there! What in the Sam Hill is going on up there? Oh, my boy is getting down! And Roman had the only reaction that a Catholic from somewhere in the Midwest would have when Will came in there. I'm like, look, I need these parents on these soaps that are so happy when their kids come home and announce they're gay. You know, in a black family, they were more like Lily on As the World Turns. Ah! And then tumble down the stairs. Ah! You what? You want to suck a penis? Ah! I'm going to go head first down these stairs.
Oh, my God.
Roman was the only one in Salem, though. Everybody else, you know, old Catholic Ma Brady was like, oh, well, come on, and I'll take you to buy some anal beads.
She can't remember who she is, so he got one else on her.
Everybody was just, Marlena was like, I'm going to have you style my wardrobe. You know, the only one who was acting like a daddy I know would have been acting was Roman. What? You mean you're queer bait boy? You mean going over there? What? You was down there at that queer bait bar? What, Sammy? You did. Sammy was like, shut up, Dad. Don't you be talking about my boy. I was like, you know what? I'm cool with Robert.
I think Josh Taylor's been there for over 10 years, and he's like, okay, well.
20 almost. Ain't it? Well, he came in, what, 90s? Oof. It's been over 10 years.
Like, yeah, like 97 or something like that? Yes. I don't know.
I said, you know what? After over, well, almost 15 years, I can accept him as my Roman.
As long as
he keeps toe-checking, folks. As long as he is there to be like, Sammy!
No final thoughts, okay.
Let's go to final thoughts. Jamie?
My final thought is this, and I've had to convey this over and over again. There has not been a show in daytime television that we have not shit on in the 6 years that I've been on this show, and I'm sure Luke before. I don't know how y'all used to do it, because I didn't listen to y'all before I came. But since I've been here, we have trashed everyone at one given time or another, and then we have been happy as pigs in mud when they do better. Well, we want to be happy for the Young and the Restless again sometime before the next millennium. We want to be happy. I want the day. I'm doing Martin Luther King. I'm dreaming of the day when we are on this podcast happy because Nikki Newman threw her hair in Ashley's face and said, you funky bitch, you stay away from that old penis.
And
Billy walks up the stairs and opens the door. I got the sticky buns, y'all, and he sees Jack and Jill pounding in the bed and falls down the Abbott stairwell and goes to John and says, oh, shit. You know, we want to see that day. Glory, glory be to God. When there's a Victoria Newman whose hair is combed and runs a company. Higher, higher glory. We are dreaming of that day where the teen storyline has a purpose. Where Summer actually is a model who has modeling shoots, Lord Jesus.
And Kyle can act.
Praying for the day when Kyle is not chewing his hair, because that's a problem. That's in that psychology book. What's that DMXVP book? You know, we are praying for the day when a storyline gets finished, like somebody learns that Sharon's ass threw Phyllis down them stairs like a fool, and that Summer ain't none of no Abbott. We are praying for the day when there's resolution and positivity and humor and heart and earth.
And when Dylan isn't Nikki's son.
Well, you know, God sometimes works in mysterious ways, Luke. You know, he might not give us that one. He might not give us everything. See, you ain't no Christian. You a Pharisee is what you are.
Jillian, final thoughts.
My final thought is, I ain't mad at Tristan for going over at Y&R. I'm just mad about the way he did it. It's like he's on recurring. I'm like, but you... people, you know, maybe Frank didn't tell Ron. I'm like, really? Frank, who can make the buffalo shit on a nickel with how tight he makes those coffers, did not tell his head writer not to waste time, energy, and money writing a big storyline for him. Really? My thing is, you should tell somebody. I'm not mad at you going over to Y&R. If they're going to offer you front burner and a contract, GH should have given you that. They should have given you a short term. It's just the way how you did it. That was foul. And we know
I'm going to tell you right now, if Access Hollywood offered me a job and say, you can't tell Luke. Luke will turn on the TV and see me. Oh, that's the wrong one. That's the hello.
Yeah,
today I am at the Kardashian nail salon where
hush. Alexis Hollywood though got blacklisted from them, so you ain't gonna be doing nothing.
Oh, that's right. They don't like the Kardashians.
Yeah, so you ain't gonna be doing nothing but stick in your corner. But you know, like it's just the way you do things. So my thing is with that, and you know, my Dr. Obrecht, Fisson, you can't leave me down here, Fisson. You can't leave me down here like this. Who's going to put the hot oil treatment in your head? Desperately, Cesar. I wanted to say that so bad because I just want to hold him down and just put some olive oil stuff in their head.
Cesar must have played New Edition's Can You Stand the Rain when he put the pipe to that, because she can't let go and let God on him.
Well, hell, he ain't even got none of Anna's, and he's still chasing her 30 damn years later.
Anna! You know, and I, you know, to all the haters, it's so funny because so many people were hating about how Faison had gotten so silly. Anders Hove said he can go from silly to lethal like that because he went from, you know, on Halloween, yeah, it was funny to see him be silly. But he wasn't nobody's silly fool when he knocked the boo-boo out of Duke and tied him to that catapult.
When Dr. Ochai sliced him up, he flipped the script on him. I was like, bitch, you crazy?
I mean, I see why he fought Nicholas like that, kind of joking and playing, because, you know, that's a big boy.
Mel, final thoughts?
I hate to make it about YNR, but that's my final thought, is that just get it together, Young and the Restless. I'm so, every time I feel like I watch that show, I just sigh and go, I got to watch this shit again. I don't want to do that. I want it to be better, as Jamie said in his whole big spiel, in his whole big speech. You know, it just needs to get better, because what's happening right now is not working.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
Not
and
promises
I'm
of better, just better. No big spin, no big sell. We didn't even, and that's the other thing, if you think about it, we all were kind of shocked because Ken Corday didn't do his usual annual interview with Stephanie at Soap Opera Digest before Days Got Better. You know, there was no, whoa, we finna reboot the show. We finna put some new boot scoop money on the show. Oh, it's the new days. It's the new days. You know, it was none of that. It just quietly got good as hell.
Yep.
They said, we'll show you better than we can tell you.
And we want that for the Young and the Restless. Yes, God.
Though we're not holding out hope.
Okay, sure.
Sing a song. Enough for a hero.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Add us as a friend on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Until next time, so long.
Where have all the good men gone, and where are the gods? Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds? Isn't there a wise